We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome back to the NFL Pick 6 Show, week number 6, sponsored by Thrive. We'll tell you about a nice sweet deposit bonus they have to offer later on. Usual suspects, myself, Dean, Dean7804, if you want to get all technical, Rich Rebar, Sharp Football Analysis, John Daigle, 4-for-4, and Bet Spurts as well. Oh, man, week 6, it's an 11-gamer. It feels like an 11-gamer. It feels like there might actually be less. First week of buys, no Detroit, no Houston, no Vegas, no Tennessee. Of course, we talk about the main slate here, the main slate only, so we're not talking about Denver and the Chargers or Dallas and Philadelphia, Washington, Chicago. There's one game that clearly sticks out amongst the rest, and we're going to talk about how to possibly be different, I suppose. And, of course, yes, we'll be talking about Buffalo and KC plenty as well. Daigle, man, this is a weird-looking slate. It's 11 games, and it feels like there's less. Like, just kind of like there's just not a lot of great stuff. I'm sure we'll talk about everything and do our best to knock it out on a Wednesday night, but – are you like me where the slate feels pretty thin to you?
It's a jammed packed afternoon slate again as well, where a lot of the late swap options, the higher scoring games, we'll talk about a couple that are in the afternoon, but overall that second slate of games is where I imagine the field is going. So it's interesting. Thin might be the word for it. It's interesting.
So it's a 3 games that are late or 4 games that are like 3. So Carolina and the Rams, you're not talking about that one, but you're talking about Arizona.
Talking about that one, no.
But imagine what you could do with Philip Walker's salary savings.
Terry McLaurin didn't get there, but Carson Wentz did us favors last week.
Is Walker? Do we know what the story with that? Is he gonna, like? Is he likely to play? I saw. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, he's 4'9".
Wow. Imagine, Dean.
Imagine, Dean, going against Josh Allen sex. You cannot do anything wrong.
Oh, man. The other 2 games, of course, that are late, Buffalo and KC, 54 total. Arizona, Seattle, 50.5 total. And how this works, if this is your first time here, where you guys been? Week 6, we break down the 3 most important games as we see fit on this on the main slate. And then we kind of run it back and talk about our fair plays position by position of not or not playing in those 3 main games. 2 of those 3, of course, are in that late set. And by the way, as an aside, just kind of keep an eye on it. John, you're talking about as far as the late slate. There is a chance that Seattle Seahawks game gets moved to 5:30, mm-hmm. pending Mariners baseball. I don't know if you saw that or not.
I know baseball is a thing that is played in our world. Do you know, though, my question is, would DraftKings and FanDuel actually push the lock of that game back or leave the lock at the same time as Cardinals or at the same time as Bills Chiefs Because that's the real question. Because then we can see the ownership in Chiefs Bills and toy from there. That's my only question.
I don't know. I feel a little bit more confident in DK's ability to push back the time than FanDuel.
Well, I mean, DK didn't push up Tyler Lockett anywhere, so maybe we shouldn't have faith in them right now either.
Yeah, why is he still 5'6"? Is the button just jammed on him? It's, yeah, I was running some optimals before the show, and yeah, we'll be talking about Seattle, and for some reason, DK did not get the memo as far as Lockett was crushing.
At least on FanDuel, they pushed the $100 button 3 times for Debo, just moved him up just a hair. But on DraftKings, Lockett didn't go anywhere.
Yeah. Again, it's cash games still seem pretty straightforward this week, and we're going to talk about it in the best we can on a Wednesday night. Obviously, some incomplete information, but it appears like there's some value popping up with some injuries as far as some running backs as well. But how do you see this slate, Rich, as far as a screenshot, an overview, however you want to say it? One game clearly stands out amongst the rest, Buffalo, KC, not just from a DFS perspective, but from a watchability, from a fun. This one should really, in theory, I mean, it really can't top the last time they played, I don't think, but it should be a blast, Buffalo and KC.
Yeah, I mean, that's the game a lot of people will be circling. I mean, when they played in the regular season last year, it was a letdown. The Bills kind of manhandled them a little bit. You know, the Chiefs had 3 turnovers. We'll save it when we get down to that game. But, yeah, everyone's going to be circling that game. There are fun 1 o'clock stacks I think you can make to just see if they hit and then just know what you're going into flying blind against the chalk that will be the 2 late games. Because I do think Arizona-Seattle is going to be really popular too. I just think Seattle's that team, like everyone weekly is just like, well, who do the Seahawks play this week? We're just going to go look at that game.
Yeah, we don't talk about last week too much, but that sort of thought process, it was like, oh, who does Detroit play? Detroit's out of the dome, and they're facing New England, and there was that quandary. It's like, I don't want a lot of New England because it's New England, and, Zappy season is fun to say, I suppose, but, man, and Ramondre, he's going to be well-owned this week, almost definitely. Harris is going to be out for multiple weeks. We'll be talking about that one as well. I believe he had, 90% snap share. I don't believe anybody else came on the field once Harris.
Everyone died.
Say it again?
Everyone died during the game.
Yeah, yeah. That'll be – and again, there's some chalk pieces, and he's probably going to be one of them going in this week. And Seattle running back as well, Penny being gone. Walker's all of a sudden going to be well-owned, and we'll be digging into that as well. But the very first game amongst the 3 games that we're going to be focusing on, and then, of course, branching out position by position, first one on the slate that we're talking about is Jets-Packers. 45.5 is the total. Green Bay, 7-point favorite here. The one thing I don't love about this game, John, is I always look at the Derek Carty's, the blitz, the game level factors as far as projected plays. 2 pretty slow teams projected to have basically the least amount of plays on the slate. And we're talking about a play or two, but they're near the bottom. Ideally, I want an up and pace game, but the slate is what it is. Talk to me about Green Bay and the Jets. What side do you want to focus on first?
It was either this or Bucks Pittsburgh. And I question if the Steelers will carry their weight and make it a competitive game. So we have to go to this one as our third spinoff. Plus, I don't think we've talked about the Packers yet this year. Let's start with the Jets, because I think there are enough ancillary pieces in this game where people will get interested, especially the running backs. My only concern here for the Jets, unless they go run heavy, which would be favorable for them, is that Zach Wilson also has not really carried his weight since he's returned the past 2 weeks. And in particular, he's been blitzed on 38% of his dropbacks, which is what we're expecting the Green Bay defense to do since they've done so at the 4th highest rate in the league. And Wilson has completed just 48% of his passes for a pick against the blitz this year and is an abysmal 3 of 16 under pressure since returning. I also question if they are good enough, this Jets team, to push an above-average team, or if we can then just carry the Packers with us in skinny stacks, perhaps, with Breece Hall and tournaments. Because this Jets team overall got 3 picks from Kenny Pickett a couple weeks ago, and it came down to the final drive to win the game. And then last week, even when you see a 40-17 win, they were actually within 2 points with less than 10 minutes remaining. And then, of course, for the Dolphins, the injuries to Teddy Bridgewater, Teron Armstead, and Tyreek Hill eventually caught up to them and just absolutely cratered. So hopefully we can get some Breece Hall pushback. Maybe someone wants to get cute with the Jets wide receivers. The issue also is that's kind of a log jam right now because no one is really emerging, and it's pretty much whack-a-mole with those 3 players.
Yeah, you mentioned Breece Hall. He was awesome last week, and he could have just had an incredible week. I think he was tackled like twice at the 1, I want to say. And both times he was on the field for the goal line carries, but he was just used kind of like in a misdirection sort of play. And Carter siphoned that touchdown. over 30 DK points for Hall. He got the bonus as far as receiving yards, just kind of got there and that. I mean, you don't assume that's going to happen every single week, but yeah. Rich, your thoughts as far as the Jets and, man, that Hall situation, I was actually under on him, so I was thankful he didn't completely break the slate. He was really good, obviously, but he seems legit. He's the guy going forward. I would imagine he's their main piece. And let me ask you this. Is that an anomaly? Was that kind of goofy? Or who should we suspect is the goal line back going forward? Or is it just, it's kind of sort of random?
It was him prior to that. I mean, they used him in motion on both plays. So kind of to set up like the decoy, the pull away. We do hate when teams do that. You've got to reward the guy that got you there, especially after the 79 yard catch. Like, you have to let him punch it in. Like, that's just doing a guy super dirty. We even saw the Cowboys earlier let Tony Pollard run one in from the 1 yard line, right? Like,
yeah,
even they knew. Like, that one was just dirty.
I think it was a timeout too, wasn't it? Like, or at the end of the quarter. Yeah. So like, it wasn't like he just ran 90 yards. Let's give him a breather because he had 2 minutes to chill. And still, they didn't give him the ball. That's what I was thinking. He's like, oh wait, they're gonna take him off the field. But no, it's a timeout because end of the quarter, he's gonna come back out there and they're gonna reward him. And they just use them for misdirection, and it worked. Like, they scored, but yeah, go ahead, continue.
No, yeah, I mean, Breece Hall was one of those guys coming out as a prospect. He was just so clean, from a dual usage perspective and from a size, speed profile, like everything was there. Like, if you were making a running back, it would look like him. We've seen him really be utilized in the passing game to open up his career. The only running backs in the 2000s that have more receiving yards than him through the first five games of any career has been Saquon Barkley, Reggie Bush, Javid Best, and Christian McCaffrey. I'd say it's pretty good company for Breece Hall moving forward. Now, he did run hot. He only had two targets and had 100 receiving yards.
Yeah.
He also was 16th among all running backs in share of backfield touches. Obviously, when you give away two at the goal line, it doesn't help. So he's running a little hot, but I mean, that should just encourage more workload for him. We do need them to kind of keep the pace here. And hey, the Packers let the Giants hang around last week, so why not the Jets, right? Why not run it back? And they're coming back from London too. So maybe there'll be a little bit of jet lag here with the early start. But I mean, the Jets, yeah, there's just so many questions here with Zach Wilson. I mean, the thing about Zach Wilson is that they're hiding him. And it's not what they were doing at Joe Flacco. The past 2 weeks, they're 5% and 10% below pass rate expectation. They were over pass rate expectation with Joe Flacco. Just 45% of Zach Wilson's pass attempts have come on non-first down plays needing 7 or more yards. Only Ryan Tannehill has a higher rate. What's crazy is the Jets can't run on first down. They're running for 3.3 yards per carry on first down rushing attempts. It's the lowest rate in the league. So they're hiding him and then just putting him in terrible spots when they do have to actually throw the football. Not exactly the greatest cocktail. He hasn't played well. For fantasy, he's actually gotten there because he has a QB sneak for a touchdown last week, and he caught a touchdown against the Steelers. But in terms of passing points per game, he's been 19th and 23rd in his games back. It's the same stuff with Zach Wilson. Like Daigle said, I mean, he's just so skittish under pressure. They've had offensive line issues the entire start of this season too, which haven't done any favors, but inaccuracy, just the same story. So we do need Zach Wilson to play a lot better because I don't know if there'll be a situation where they can just kind of hang around like the Giants did with Wink Martindale.
Who's your favorite piece on this Jets team? If you're going to run a little like Green Bay mini stack, who's your favorite run back? Is it Hall, the running back, or is it a dart at Moore or Wilson or something like that? Who would be your favorite play on the Jets side?
Yeah, I mean, it just has to be Hall. I mean, look at what these wide receivers have done since Zach Wilson's come back. I mean, Garrett Wilson has had one good game in fantasy and no one played him. We keep chasing it. We're going to keep chasing that week two game, but he's in the wide receiver 58 and the wide receiver 74. Since Wilson has gotten under center, he hasn't been a top 40 scorer in any other game besides that game against the Browns. Elijah Moore is out here as the cardio king right now. This dude's been targeted on just 14% of his routes. That's 83rd among all wide receivers. That one hurts. Every week I write up Elijah Moore. It's like that new Mario meme. I'm just grabbing my chest, just trying to figure out what's going on here, trying to do it. And then, like, Corey Davis is like the ultimate like thorn because Corey Davis is good enough to be a nuisance, and he's just bad enough to not make us care about Corey Davis. The worst kind of player for fantasy football. And then we saw last week, too, with CJ Uzoma coming back, he ran more pass routes than Tyler Conklin, so that is kind of over as well. Really messy passing game, and the quarterback isn't good.
Corey Davis is equivalent to Brandon Ayuk right now. If you need 4 for 50, you'll get it. If you need 6 for 100, you'll get 4 for 50.
What is your answer here, John? Because, like, traditionally, as my run back, if I'm playing a little Green Bay mini stack, traditionally as my run back on the other side, the team that's presumed to be down, we don't know for certain, but right now they're 7-point dogs. You want the receiver, but the most trustworthy play feels like Breece Hall. Breece Hall looks like the best player on this team. He's getting more and more snaps. He was up 69% snaps last time out, last game, highest of the season. But generally speaking, as like a thought, you don't like the running back that's a 7-point dog as your run back. But, you know, who are you going to pick? Corey Davis or Elijah Moore or Chris Pratt? I'm not taking any of these guys.
At least we would think that it would be Breece Hall out there in negative game script, since it is, like Rich said, trending in Hall's direction. It's not the waterfall, the dam breaking that everyone is assuming for Breece Hall, but it's trending in the right way. So much so that Michael Carter hit a season low in routes run 30% of Zach Wilson's dropbacks last week, whereas Breece Hall has been over 50% for three consecutive games now. So they are pushing him out there. Michael Carter is also good enough to be a nuisance. Breece Hall is clearly better in every aspect of the game, but Michael Carter's still out there. So if it were 7-10-point deficit here, I think Breece Hall is the run back. And even at being, what is he on FanDuel? I believe 6,500. It's a pretty good price. It's a pretty good piece that may go overlooked in this slate.
In the chat, do appreciate y'all watching us on the YouTube. Kindly hit that like button. Do subscribe. Do turn on those notifications. This time next week, I'll be tilting basketball. I'll tilting at NBA. I'm certainly looking forward to that. The start of the season's what, 6 days away, of course, here at Runner Grinders. Plenty of basketball content, live shows as well. Tune in, hang out with us. Big Willie says, can you confirm, how does it sound to you, Rich? Corey Davis is the Taysom Hill of wide receivers. Do you buy that?
I don't know. Corey Davis is interesting. You're like Malcolm Floyd for the Chargers. Like, he would just like, you know, he was like good enough where he'd always be like popping up as like the best player available on waivers, but like no one ever would pick him up. And like, no, that's like what Corey Davis is. Like, he's just like always like, just most fantasy points scored on the year, but he's always on waivers. No one wants to play him. That's like kind of what he was like.
If you had the Malcolm Floyd, Javid Best, exact the box, like that's like a 10,000 to one, the name drops. That was pretty impressive.
There might be new viewers tonight since we're recording earlier for a change. So they got Zach Wilson right out the gates, and then they got Javid Best and Malcolm Floyd. This is what they came for.
And they just tuned out. Thank you for watching.
Correct. Good to see you.
We appreciate the few minutes of hanging out with us. John, I didn't watch this London game with Green Bay. But what I see as far as a snap count, Aaron Jones appears to be separating himself. We were told beginning of the year, Jones and Dillon was 1 and 1A. Or was it 1A and 1A, however they said it? But now we're looking at, as far as snaps, what, Jones, 73%, 32% as far as Dillon. Is this the norm? I see people fighting, season-long people fighting on Twitter, what to do with Dillon. Some say buy, some say hold, some say sell. What should we expect going forward as far as the backfield for Green Bay?
It was a bit of an anomaly out of nowhere, especially in a game where the Packers were up 17-3 at one point, 20-10 at the half. And then for A.J. Dillon, who had recorded at least 14 touches in every game so far, to then get 6 touches and his lowest share of backfield touches, just 28.5%, compared to Aaron Jones, who hit a season high 71% of this team's backfield touches. It was odd that Dillon was used in game script as such. But also, we've seen it trending down, at least in the passing game for him, for 5 consecutive weeks now. His target share has literally dipped in every single game, so much so that he didn't have a single target this past game. And they also called a season high in pass play rate from 11 personnel, which got Randall Cobb on the field more, basically as the new A.J. Dillon, I guess. I don't know if that holds. It's interesting that it just happened in a game script that it shouldn't have happened, but that's really what's trending in favor of Aaron Jones right now. The issue is that I think the A.J. Dillon news, the information, is so well known because it's just aching everyone's souls in the redraft community that Aaron Jones may actually get steamed as a natural 7-point favorite here, 7.5-point favorite at home.
Yeah. Your thoughts there, Rich, as far as the backfield? Feel free to jump all of Green Bay. Are we chasing the 13 targets or Randall Cobb? That seems like an anomaly to me.
No.
I don't, I mean, like, what's the upside? I don't think so, right?
No, he had 12 targets on the season coming into Sunday. I'm going to say that that probably won't hold. We still saw Romeo Dubs play as the locked in wide receiver too, you know, in on 90% of the team dropbacks, 88% of the team dropbacks. It was the first time that he was targeted on fewer than 20% of his routes in a game. I still think he, at his price, is probably more intriguing of the guys. It's interesting is the Jets have been pretty good against wide receivers, especially on the boundary. But both those cornerbacks, DJ Reed and Sauce, have played really well to open the year. We know we're getting out of Lazard. Of the Packers backfield, I didn't get a lot of things right. That I've been all over that. The beginning of the summer, when people were acting like Aaron Jones was going to threaten to be the RB1 in fantasy football, like, I was all over that situation. We've seen it again. He has one good week, and it's a week where he scored touchdowns. And that's been the story with Aaron Jones of his career. He's never had an RB1 scoring week in his career without a touchdown. And he's now been an RB2 or better in games without a touchdown, 9 of 37 career games. That's been the story of his career. And everyone wanted to use those 7-game splits spread across 3 seasons without Devontae Adams that Aaron Jones was going to threat to catch like 100 passes. He's had more than 3 catches in a game this season. That's one I'm going to pat myself on the back on. I was all over that one. Wasn't chasing those really sporadic splits. That said, if you've watched the Packers at all this year, he's by far their best offensive player. He leads the NFL in rate of runs that have resulted in a first down or touchdown. He has the highest rate of carries that go for explosive runs. Basically all their scoring drives have stemmed from like big plays that Aaron Jones have created. It's warranted that he plays more snaps. They need to get him the football more, because if you watch this offense for 5 weeks, they've got one playmaker and it's him. Romeo Dubs flashed a little bit, but it's really Aaron Jones right now. So they've got to generate splash plays. When you look at Aaron Rodgers right now, he's dead last in the NFL in rate of receptions that gain 10 or more yards. 31.6%. League average is 43.6%. He's just relying on yak. The Packers receiving yardage is all yak. 63% of his passing yards is yak. It's the highest rate in the league. They just can't generate big plays right now offensively. Something we largely did see coming, but that's been the story of the offense. And that's how you let teams like the Giants hang around when you should be crushing them, right? When you're up 17-3 and it's how you don't score in the second half against a team like the Giants. This
it's
offense
the 4-1 Giants you're besmirching, just so you know.
Oh, listen, my son has let me know repeatedly
scoreboard
the entire day on Sunday and every day since. But yeah, this offense just needs playmakers. So Aaron Jones is really the only guy they have. Like he it's warranted that he plays more than Tyler Algiers, Jameel Dillon.
As like game stacks go, Rich, like again, John, he picks our games for us. And look, you got to pick a third one. That's just the rules of the show. Where would you have like Jets Packers? Because it really gets ugly pretty fast. It's the third highest team total on the board as of right now. Like 45.5 is the third highest. Minnesota Miami right there. Baltimore Giants right there. But you know, John was in a pinch. There's just, again, it's the nature of the slate. I guess Tampa, Pittsburgh, 43.5. I don't know if Pittsburgh's gonna chase back or punch back.
Pittsburgh, and we'll talk about the Ravens, but also like the Giants have one player you're playing. So like we would spend we would spend 10 minutes talking about one player. That's it. So listen, I do thinking before the show. I know what we're doing here.
Oh no, I'm just trying to. What I was saying is what a dilemma you had. I didn't want that. I'm glad we yield to you because I would still be sitting there trying to answer. We have two games, and I don't know.
It's a bummer the fallout the Dolphins situation has had because that would have been one potential. But they're already talking about playing Skylar Thompson, who played a lot. He was put in a really tough spot last week. But you can't have Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle have 4 and 3 yard depth of targets in an NFL football game. Like we can't live that life, but Dolphins Vikings could have had potential to be fun, fully healthy.
And Mostert popped up on the injury report all of a sudden too. So we got lots of question marks in that Dolphins game.
Why do they even pay Chase Edmonds if they're not going to play him? I saw Tyreek was in a walking boot. I know how severe that is. And the other weird thing is that they said, even if Bridgewater passes everything and is good to go, he's behind Thompson. Why is he – did Thompson just outplay him? Is that what the thought process is there? Or did you guys see this note? You guys know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I mean, they really – they like Skylar Thompson. Maybe they're going to devise a game plan. Or maybe he was put into a ridiculous spot to make, like, his first NFL action because you think, like, they had to ramp up Teddy, right, to get first-team reps. So, you know, Skylar Thompson didn't take any first-team reps last week. And then the dude's in one play into the game. Like, yeah, here you go. So, really tough spot for him. I don't want to drag him. He played really well in the preseason. He had moments in college. You know, he played, it felt like, 15 years at Kansas State. But he had moments in college. He's a good athlete. He didn't run at all in that game. I'm curious to see what they cook up for him. But potentially with no Terron Armstead, like, it's still a lot to ask.
Tough spot.
Yeah.
You got anything else? Do we want to talk about it, Rodgers? Like, are we going to play Rodgers? You're saying, Rich, that there's no weapons there to throw the ball to, really.
I mean, the team totals, like you said, is telling us that. I mean, it's been here, though. Like, I write up these games every week, and the Packers every week. I'm like, well, you know, Vegas is trying to get us on. Like, the Packers are going to score points, and then every week they don't score points. Like, it's the same story every week. I mean, yeah, he needs playmakers. The other problem with Rodgers is, like, dude, I mean, these quarterbacks, like, what are we supposed to do? Like, we've got Brady that's, like, really cheap on DraftKings, but, like, how do you just not play Josh Allen and Jalen Hurts every – Josh Allen, we haven't got – like, Josh Allen should be $9,000 on DraftKings. He should be $10,000 on FanDuel. Mm-hmm. They're dragging their feet on this. We've seen it with, like, guys like Todd Gurley, Christian McCaffrey. Like, it takes a while. Cooper Kupp is there now, where, like, Cooper Kupp just lives at, like, the high nines on both sides. Josh Allen should be there. Like, the dude is scoring 30 points every week. Like, how are you supposed to play Aaron Rodgers, even if you get 18 and 19 points? Dude, Brady was, like, really good last week. He had 20 fantasy points. And if you had Brady, you were dead. You're just about dead. Yeah. Like, so, I mean, how do we not play these guys?
Well, the thing is, you used to play the cheap quarterback to open things up, where you get, like, CMC, who's putting up, you know, 10 catches and 100 yards and a couple. That person doesn't exist anymore. Like, CMC from 2018, that player doesn't exist anymore, outside of maybe like Cooper Kupp or whatever. But you're not getting those running backs that just are the nuts, and you're so consistently putting up 30 plus fantasy points. So it's like, okay, great, dollar for dollar you're saving some salary, and this guy's doing okay theoretically, math wise but where are you putting that savings? It's a good use.
There's literally a 10-point difference in points per game between the QB1, Josh Allen, and the QB5, Kyler Murray. Like, it's not pretty right now, except outside the top three or four players.
Yeah, I guess we should talk about that game. That's the next game we're talking about. It's the Kansas City Chiefs. They're at home versus Buffalo. What, 3-point dog here? 2.5-point dog? 54 as far as the total should be fantastic. I'll throw it to you, Rich. I guess we prefer Allen over Mahomes, and it's interesting too, because, like, thinking of guys to pair him with, there's a lot of pairing options on both sides. I saw Ian Harditz had a tweet about Kansas City, the receivers. You know, earlier in the year we talked about Mahomes had that quote. We're saying basically it's going to be somebody different every single week. Well, it's been nobody any week. It just has not happened. He has it broken down. I think the best thing I saw was MVS wide receiver 20. Like, you got five shots every single week, the five wide receivers for 5 weeks, and just, like, nobody gets there ever, because Travis Kelce, you know, he's dropping the Al Bundy Polk High games, putting up those four tutties. I was told he was too old. Apparently not just yet. But, yeah, some great pairing options. But certainly the start of this game, Rich, is the two quarterbacks, Allen and Mahomes. Start whichever side you prefer.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, I wrote about the Chiefs a couple weeks ago. I noticed that their target rate to wide receivers was way down compared to years past, and it's kind of continued. And that's had an impact on Mahomes. Like, it hasn't really shown up in fantasy because he's got so many passing touchdowns. But the past 4 weeks, you remember, he came out week one, he threw for 9.2 yards per pass attempt. He's 25th in the NFL in yards per pass attempt over the past 4 weeks, because when you just have to throw so many targets to tight ends and running backs, it's just going to inherently bog you down a little bit. Now, he's getting there with touchdowns. Interesting about Kelce, he's also averaging a career low yards per catch. He also is just getting there on touchdowns. The Chiefs, when Kelce's going, they're really good. And when Kelce's kind of boxed, like, we've seen him a couple times this year, like the Chargers game, a little bit in that Colts game, like, the offense kind of looks very sketchy for the Chiefs. And it's something that definitely scares me. Not big picture, but to see if they can kind of punch back. I mean, you look at these games last year, obviously Mahomes had the 40 burger in the playoffs. When they played in the regular season, he only had 18 fantasy points. He wasn't even a QB1 that week. A couple things of note when the two games that they played the Bills, obviously the Bills only blitzed him on 6 of 116 dropbacks. Yes, there was 116 dropbacks in two games for Patrick Mahomes. He ran for his two highest totals of the year in those games, 61 and 69 yards. From a passing stance, Tyreek Hill accounted for 28% of his completions and 33% of his passing yards. Obviously, that ties into everything we just talked about. Kelce is going to get there probably, but like, what about the rest of these guys? Like, who else from the Chiefs do you have any confidence in right now? Are you playing CEH? Are you chasing those touchdowns? He's had more than 12 touches in one game. You talked about the receivers. Like, who are you putting in a lineup with Patrick Mahomes that isn't Travis Kelce? Who? Sell me on one
MVS
player.
MVS is probably the guy. I mean, he's really cheap too, and they're all cheap. And that's the other thing is they're so cheap, but they're rightfully cheap because none of them get there ever.
Mecole Hardman and Justin Watson have scored the only two touchdowns, one apiece, mm-hmm. among all the wide receivers on this team. Juju and Marquez Valdes-Scantling, who lead the wide receivers in routes run, have combined for just two targets inside the 10-yard line. Like, they don't even look at them where it matters. And instead, it's the ancillary pieces. That's why Kelce has accounted for 7 of Mahomes' 15 passing touchdowns and Clyde Edwards-Helaire with 3. Like, it's basically tight ends and running backs from Patrick Mahomes this year. That's what makes this so tough, because I keep looking at their team too, and it's like Clyde Edwards-Helaire isn't evolved enough to think he's a pivot off of the passing game, especially when you get rope-a-doped weekly between Jarrett McKinnon and Isaiah Pacheco as well. There was no reason for Jarrett McKinnon to usurp Pacheco last week. It just happened out of nowhere. And he looked amazing. He looked great. Maybe they did just ride the hot hand. Maybe I'm just angry about it because I swapped him for Pacheco on waiver wires everywhere. Maybe that's it. But either way, like, there's no really way to tell how they'll use these players, and you would have to depend on efficiency only, which isn't even efficiency in terms of yards per catch, yards per running. It's literally just coming down to touchdowns only for Clyde Edwards-Helaire. So I agree. That's going to make Travis Kelce the highest roster tight end on the slate. We'll get to other pivot options later, but it's just tough with this Chiefs offense.
Yeah, I mean, I think MVS is my favorite amongst the group on DK at 4.5K. Seems like a reasonable price, and I would imagine he'll be the most
popular. But against the Bills, like, the Bills, all they do is sit back and play shell coverage. Like, and you're going to, like, what is MVS going to do? Like, MVS is the complete, like, opposite wide receiver that will, like, ever be successful against the Bills.
Give me the hand of the take, then. But it's not MVS. Who is it? Or is it just Kelce and we were overthinking it otherwise?
I mean, no team plays more zone coverage than the Bills. No team plays more two-high safety than the Bills. Like, what is MVS doing? Like, all of MVS's catches last week came off like rub single man stuff. Like, he's like the exact opposite, like, type of guy to have success against, like, the structure of the Bills defense. You would say, like, maybe a guy like Juju, just because how much zone they play, but, like, I mean, he has 8 or more targets in every game but one. Like, Juju, the problem with Juju is just, like, he just has no juice, man. Like, he's nothing after the catch right now. And just like John said, like, none of these guys are involved in the red zone. Like, at least, like, Byron Pringle would score random touchdowns. Like, these Chiefs, they have 2 touchdowns. The wide receivers have 2 touchdowns so far.
Yeah, it's not good. Sky Moore, I see in the chat, somebody mentioning him. Like, he's still just 35% snaps, and it's increasing. You know, the rookie, by the way, 24, is that his number? It's 24, right? Is that?
Yeah, he is 24. It's quite egregious.
I'm like, who's 24? I haven't seen a lot of Sky Moore these days, but yeah, I don't know. John, do you have a preference, a favorite, if you're going to pick one of these? Juju did get 86% snaps last game, which is the highest of his season for what it's worth, but, you know, Rich is right as well. He just, you know, he looks like the world's oldest 25-year-old playing football, man.
He hasn't finished any higher than the wide receiver 27 on DraftKings, like a points per reception site. That's absurd considering, like Rich said, in 4 games this year, he's seen 8+ targets. So there really is no answer except for Travis Kelce. It's so frustrating.
So is the Kansas City offense not going to be successful here, or it's just going to be Kelce just, you know, smashing? Is that, like, they're projected to score 26 points. It should be a bit of a shootout. You know, Buffalo is going to make them presumably, you know, throw the entire game. Rich, you don't like MBS. You don't like Juju. And I mean, do you think Kelce just kind of flops overall, or it's going to be Kelce?
I mean, listen, I'm not going to go out here, like, openly just, like, betting it's Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes at home, especially the first time he's ever been a home underdog. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I don't feel good objectively about the situation that they're in right now. I don't feel good about it, especially against this Bills team. Man, I mean, it's tough. I mean, the way the Bills are, because the Bills, like, they're getting plays from, like, all kinds of, they're the opposite of the Chiefs, right? Like, they're just like, you know what, we'll just plug in Khalil Shakir this game, right? That bam, 70 yards and a touchdown. Like, they're just, you know, whatever they need to. Like, they're just dialing up guys. Quentin Moore should have had a touchdown last week playing for Dawson Knox. He smoked his D off the line, one of the few bad throws. Josh Allen had two throws that should have been touchdowns, one to Stephon Diggs, one to Quentin Morris, which, you know, his game could have been even more bonkers. But, I mean, the Bills are, they've got all these guys that are, like, chipping in and doing work, and the Chiefs are basically, like, trying to find out like which one of these receivers are going to make some plays outside of Travis Kelce.
Were you guys surprised by the line a little bit? I was a little bit surprised by what 3, 2.5 Buffalo. I figured Buffalo maybe -1. I don't know. A little surprising. Buffalo's better, right? And the public believes that. But KC is also a public team too. I guess not. John, were you surprised by this line or no?
A little bit, just to see, again, like Reeve said, Patrick Mahomes is a home underdog, especially because it opened at the full 3. They didn't even give you the 2.5. They went right for it, and it got bet down. So a little shocked to see that. Interesting game.
John, your official favorite play in Kansas City outside of Kelce. Like, if you're going to throw a dart at one of them, who would it be?
I may even just flex Kelce. That may be the unique way to approach this. That would, of course, entail playing any other tight end on the slate. But maybe flexing Kelce is the way to go here just to get unique with Chiefs exposure. But really, that's it for me, honestly, because we can get to the Bills side. There are so many ways to go about it. That's what makes it fun. Like, Josh Allen averaged 320 yards and totaled 7 touchdowns with no picks against the Chiefs last year. And this year, like Reeve said, 30 points per game. He hasn't finished outside the top 5 quarterbacks in any contest this year. He's just been tried and true in every single contest. Remember also, the Chiefs, even though Allen has been much, much greater against the blitz this year, in this game in the postseason last year, the Chiefs didn't blitz him at all either. Just sent 9 blitzes overall at him. So we just think he's going to have time to sit back. They can take their time. They can put their foot on the gas. They can do whatever they want. So I'd lean on, if you ask me which one, it has to be Josh Allen.
Yeah, Rich, it sounds like you feel the same way. Who's your favorite pairing partner for Josh Allen? Assume all the, you know, obviously the context of salary and things like that.
Yeah, and the matchup is good for Allen. I mean, the Chiefs are 28th in passing points allowed per pass attempt. They're also facing the second most pass attempts in the NFL. So if you combine those two things, that's how you get them allowing a league-high 20.7 passing points per game. That's not even – like, imagine just being able to just like start with, like, 20 passing points, and then you add Josh Allen to the fire, like, his rushing ability, goal line equity, all those other things. When these teams played last year, he had 36 and 37 fantasy points. Like, absolutely bonkers numbers. Yeah, and you can go a lot of ways about this. I think Devin Singletary is going to end up being really popular because of his price. Because we've seen Devin Singletary in the foxhole games. When the Bills have played tight games, he's been the guy. He has 18 and 15 touches for 91 and 96 yards in the 2 close games that they've played this year. In the other 3 games that they've won by 21, 34, and 35 points, he has just 8 10 and 7 touches. But like, when the shit hits the fan, like, the dude that they have in the game is Devin Singletary. So I think a lot of people like will just get to him naturally because he's a salary saver in this game, which there aren't a lot of. You know, the Bills side has definitely a lot more viable options that you can save salary on because you don't want to play Devin Singletary. When you look at how Steve Spagnuolo's approached playing the Bills, and I don't know if he'll do it because remember the last time these teams played, Gabe Davis went for 200 yards and 4 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. He's really just tried to slow Stephon Diggs down. We saw them just like they threw a lot at Stephon Diggs in these games. They played 4 times the past 2 years, and in those games, Stephon Diggs has 46 yards, 77 yards, 69 yards, and 7 yards, and he has 1 touchdown in those games. They've really just thrown a lot at him. I'm curious to see if he does that because obviously everyone will just naturally pair him with Diggs. Diggs goes with his ownership just naturally goes with Allen's ownership because we always see like the quarterback's going to drag along a stacking target. We'll probably see some chasing of Gabe Davis. Gabe Davis is like the antithesis of the work smarter, not harder, right? Like of a fantasy football player. Only 3 catches last week. Guess what though? Did it again, you know, only been targeted on, you know, 18% of his pass routes, right? You know, Doesn't matter. Because all of the targets that Gabe Davis gets for his entire career are just high value, high cholesterol, rich in fantasy fat targets. He gets deep targets and end zone targets, and he lives off of those. You can get six targets in a game when those six targets are almost all 20 yards downfield or in the end zone. Easy way to get there. Work smarter, not harder. And then it looks like Isaiah McKenzie will be back this week. So he's, you know, in play as well. The Chiefs have been pretty okay. They've been okay against slot receivers, but it's only because wide receiver ones have been murking them so far. They've allowed the second most points in the NFL to opposing wide receiver ones. We saw Devontae Adams get over again on Monday. It's been a consistent, you know, kind of theme for them this season. And it's just be real curious to see how Spags approaches trying to do what he's done in the past to Diggs, or just kind of say, like, we can't do it because we're not stopping anyone anyway, so we might as well, you know, kind of stick to our base defense. But yeah, there are a lot of options on the Bills side.
Work smarter, not harder. That's what they teach you at UCF. I learned that there as well. hey, let me ask you this. In a vacuum, Rich, I'll get to you, John, in a second, but you mentioned Singletary in a vacuum, again, not game stacking, whatever. Singletary's 5'9 on DK. Ramondre Stevenson's 6K. Hall is 5'8. So they're all essentially the same price. Yeah, how would you separate those three?
I mean, it depends what you're playing. I mean, it sucks to say that as a cop out, but because we don't know, you know, it's Wednesday night. We can't see ownership. We're going off of projections. We know things are going to happen throughout the week. But I would wager that Devin Singletary ends up being the most popular play out of all of those guys in tournaments, in large field tournaments, just based on salary and game environment. Then probably followed by Ramondre, because they did at least hike Ramondre up. Maybe not enough, but he's going to be so chalky that he might become unchalky in a sense.
And you mentioned DK, like you go to FanDuel, Devin Singletary sitting there at 5,700.
Oh, yeah.
Ramondre 6,500. It's like, good grief. Like, how do you get off those players, those salaries?
And of course, running my optimals, no surprise. Josh Allen is landing in a good chunk of them. He's well ahead of, if you're spending up, it's going to be Allen over Mahomes in cash. Of course, in tournaments, do whatever you want. But yeah, there's an opportunity to cost. Lamar, well, he seems like a really interesting tournament play. People just aren't going to play him, right? They're just going to pick one of these two quarterbacks in this premium game. John, what do you have as far as the Buffalo side? What do you want to add to what Rich said?
Rich pretty much touched on everything. Even though Devin Singletary has been taken off the field of the fourth quarter in two of his last four games, the salary is where everyone's going to get to as a potential pivot, since literally only he and Josh Allen have a carry inside the 10-yard line for the Bills this year. They only go to two players. So he'll be interesting. I wonder how much Isaiah McKenzie will get steamed, since I still don't think they'll play Khalil Shakir if McKenzie's back, and it looks like he's going to be back since he did practice at full from the concussion protocol today. I just wonder how much he'll get steamed. That's really my question. Not if he'll get played. He'll definitely get dragged along in Allen stacks.
We're expecting Knox back? Or we don't know?
Maybe. I actually don't know. Rich, did you see his practice report today?
I think he was limited on Wednesday. He has hamstring. He's a hamstring and an ankle injury. He hasn't been good either, right, which is kind of a problem. I almost would like to see Quentin Morris get more run because he's a lot more athletic. Quentin Morris had a shot at a big game last week.
Honestly, you can drag Quentin Morris with you in Allen stacks and flex Kelsey. That's kind of where my head is at.
What is Quentin Morris on DK?
I'm pulling it up right now. He's 2.8.
Oh, God. Yeah, if we got no Knox, I mean, he had a shot. He had five targets, and he had a shot at a huge game. He had a touchdown where he cooked this guy. Mm-hmm. He was really good in the preseason. He's an interesting guy, man. I was looking at him last week. I didn't end up playing him, but I was keeping an eye on him because I was curious to see. I have him in a couple deeper dynasty leagues. But if Knox ended up not playing, I mean, he'd be an interesting guy too in this game.
And even if Knox plays, like, it's not just that he hasn't been good. He hasn't been good. But also what we saw in his last 10 games post coming back from that wrist injury was him running around on 90% of dropbacks. Like, he was an every down receiver for this team. But then this year, he's averaging just around on 63% of dropbacks. Like, he's not even a part of their offense, really, honestly. So he's just not a player you pay attention to.
They paid him a bunch of money. You think that would matter, but I guess maybe not. But yeah, I saw the one player you're talking about. I'm like, who is it? I never heard of Quentin Morris, but I'm like, this guy looks really athletic for a backup tight end.
By the siren song, the athletic tight end siren song. Sing to me again.
Drag me under. I watch the ETR show every Friday night because I support my friends. And Silva mentioned Quentin Morris and the double take Wiggins and Levitan had to do because obviously who has ever heard of Quentin Morris?
It wasn't just me. They didn't know he was either.
The regular person who doesn't chart the shit behind the scenes was not ready for a Quentin Morris take.
But they are preseason DFS hawks. Like
absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, they should be on that.
I just pulled up his player profiler, and his best comparable is another person I've never heard of, Garrett Graham. Guys know Garrett Graham?
That's a fair comparison, but let's not compare him to that in the week we're going to play him.
Ah.
What should I know about Garrett Graham? Is he still playing in the league? Am I aware of this?
No.
Okay.
I can't even remember the last year he played.
Trifecta box, by the way. Ajavi Best, Garrett Graham, and Malcolm Floyd. Cash your tickets. Buddy,
we got those viewers. Keep them coming. They're watching still now.
Looks like he played for Denver, if I'm making up that uniform appropriately.
Houston, right?
Oh, it could be.
It was Texans.
He's a Texans tight end, right?
Well, looks like orange to me. But all right, nevertheless. Garrett Graham's closest comp? James Casey. We can play this all night. We got anything else here? We're talking about Arizona, Seattle. I think we're moving on, right, boys?
I will say this. My initial thought here is I will definitely have Bill stacks, but I'm probably going to be under on this game. It's just this game, like games like this, they just end up so mammothly owned in across the board. Like I don't think a Bills Chiefs stack wins anything major large field this week.
Oof.
We're just avoiding, but we're just worried about two games, right? We're worried about this and Cardinals Seahawks. Those are the two games that everyone is playing.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that in a second. And I agree with that in premise. But the thought process is like, okay, you can't just say this game's not good or this game's going to not hit.
Right.
You got to tell me which game hits now. And that's the tricky part. And like, you know, it's variance and yada, yada. It's the one example and things can happen.
I thought it was Browns Chargers last week, man. I was all over that game and it looked good. The final score looked good.
Yeah.
I mean, it did hit. You just had to stack the running backs.
I did. It. I mean, I had it. Yeah. Herbert was the dude who boned me.
Yeah.
Josh Kelly had a touchdown. They kicked like three red zone field goals. That was pretty cool.
Eckler's had a couple of good back-to-back weeks there. Not on the main slate. They're facing Denver, I believe, Monday night. That was Wilson's agent put that thing out about his shoulder, right? Like they got to do something. If you're Russ Wilson's agent, you got to drop something out there about like there's something going. Maybe he's legit hurt. I don't know. But, like, the PR damage control. I mean, it's either that or like another Subway commercial.
I mean, between Russ and Nathaniel Hackett, man, like, it's been a tough opening five games, man. It has turned quick in Denver.
Yes. Yeah. And they're on Monday night because they're on primetime every single week.
Well, we got 2 weeks of primetime Bears coming up, Thursday and then next Monday. The Bears are on primetime again next week for everyone that's excited about tomorrow.
Will you watch the Island game that is Washington at Chicago?
I live 2 miles away. I may go down there. It's my one free night. My work is usually freed up by Thursday. All the notes are done. I may work my way down there.
Like to the game?
I literally live. Rich has been in my place. I literally live just 2 miles away from the lakeside, just right over there, Soldier Field.
Okay. Yeah.
So I may go down there. I mean, listen, if you're gonna watch that game. If you see hell, no one wants to go to hell, but if you see hell, you got to check it out. You have to know what it's about. So I may work my way to hell.
Well, next week you'll tell us what Kaiser Soze looks like because man, this is, you know how the line, like I wouldn't watch that game if it was in my backyard. Like they're talking about watching that.
It's
Chicago.
Literally in my backyard. Yeah.
I'm sure I'm going to watch it too. And just hate watch it. And tweet. Oh,
everyone's going to watch it. Once we were one half into Broncos Colts, no one was going away. Everyone's still stuck with it. You got to see that through.
I went away.
Oh, okay, it's communal. Well. The hate watch is communal. It's like now we're all in it together. You can't leave.
I saw the opening three drives of that game and I said, no.
You were out.
Guess what? Nope. It didn't change.
I have too much. I don't get enough free time. I was like, nope. I hit my wife up. I was like, Jen, it's time. Like, let's get on something.
See how this is going.
I have no need for this in my life right now.
Do you remember like the last play you saw like that broke the back? And so that's it. I just can't do it anymore. It's just the overall stench of the entire game.
I think it was like just some errant Matt Ryan throw or so. It was like, I mean, both of those offensive lines were so bad in that game. Like, you just knew, like, there was just like, it was just going to be such a nightmare. And like, none of those quarterbacks had a chance in that game. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I don't really know. I saw what happened on highlights at the end, but
highlights, not the, yeah, that's the word they used, but how did Matt Ryan do in a punt passing kick competition at this point? I feel like, well, his arm seems kind of shot these days, right? It's a, oh, the line's not been great. What a disaster all around.
I mean, who knew it? I mean, he's a 37-year-old quarterback that can't move. Like, if you don't protect him, like,
yeah.
I mean, they were starting a, you know, they tried to rotate the offensive line. They kicked their, you know, right tackle Braden Smith into guard. I mean, then the right tackle just got murdered the entire night. Like, it just, you know, what are you going to do, man?
You sound frustrated talking about it. You didn't even watch it.
Let's move on.
I mean, the Colts are just a nightmare. Like, it hurts.
We'll move on to some great football. The Seattle Seahawks are at home versus the Arizona Cardinals. 50.5 as far as the total. Seattle looks like they're a 2.5-point dog at home. Did you guys, I'm sure you saw this weird quote that allegedly that Drew Lock is on the heels of Geno Smith. Is that a real quote, or is that Roto-World just like trolling us?
It's coach speak trying to keep Geno Smith playing at the level he is right now.
Okay. I mean, this just seems like a weird thing to say. Like, that's, I thought that was the youngin for a second. I'm like, what? Why? Like, he's thoroughly overachieving. He's been spectacular. And we're talking about, I don't know awesome. What. Yeah, it's just so weird. But yeah, John, you feel free to jump on the Arizona, Seattle, whatever. What's your beak? And again, we're going to get a lot of ownership, especially on the Seattle side. Tyler Lockett, especially on DK, where he's forever 5.6K for no particular reason. Kenneth Walker, the presumed number one guy there now in Seattle, the absence of Penny. He's not priced for a lead back, so he's going to be fairly popular as well. And, you know, wait and see as far as Arizona, because Connor's got ribs. He's questionable. Maybe Eno Benjamin can be a thing. Although he doesn't feel like a guy that they would, like, ram for 20 carries, but he'll get enough when you consider his price is 4.6K at DK. Dealer's choice, John, wherever you want to go.
We'll start with Geno, since we already talked about him, because remember, we talk about the Cardinals Seahawks every week. Oddly enough, we have to talk about them again. And last week we had questions because it was the first true test since they upped their offense. Since Geno became Geno, that they were playing a tough defense. And what we saw was their plays per game, right? They only ran 49 plays, but it's because they were so efficient. They were so damn good. They still averaged 7.7 yards per play. And now over the last three games, since they've upped their pace and upped their no huddle rate, they're averaging 60 plays per game. Remember, this Seahawks defense, or the Seahawks offense, has also scored 28 points in four of their last six contests against Cliff Kingsbury. And Arizona didn't blitz the Panthers aggressively in week four. They probably decided to just let Baker Mayfield make the mistakes for them. But in every other game, they blitzed the opposing quarterback on at least 40% of his dropbacks. And Geno Smith, of all people, has the highest completion rate in the league right now against the blitz this year. So if they're going to send the house, it's another amazing matchup. And unlike what we saw from the Russell Wilson Seahawks at any point, last week Geno brought along the wide receivers with him, as both DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett finished as a wide receiver one, a top 12 receiver in that game. So now it's getting even spicier, kind of figuring out where he's going with the targets, and that he actually can provide production to win tournaments for both players. So of course it's an amazing matchup.
Rich, have we figured it out? We have 5 weeks. Is it Metcalf or is it Lockett? Or as John suggests, you could play both in theory.
Yeah, it's a little different this year than the old just hope you get there on a couple long plays. Yeah, it's interesting. Is Arizona, they blitz at the third highest rate, but they play man coverage on just 35% of their blitzes, which is 26th in the NFL. Geno against zone blitzes is 20 of 23 passing with 9 yards per pass attempt. Just what a revelation we're having. It's one of the funnest stories of the season. You know, even last week, I was kind of like 1 foot in, 1 foot out. I was like, all right, you know, Falcons, and then who'd they play the week before this?
Lions.
Falcons, yeah. Lions. Like, all right. Saints is like a more formidable matchup. I think he'll be solid, but like won't be as good. And like, man, he was just incredible. The weird thing about him is that he's like a hot – they're like starting these games hot, and they're terrible in the second half. Like, the Seahawks are one of the worst second half teams in the NFL. Geno Smith, his EPA per dropback – It's 0.51. The next closest quarterback is Josh Allen. It's 0.28. So he's almost two times better than Josh Allen in the first half. It's like how good Geno Smith's been in these games. He has one passing touchdown in the second half this season.
You know what's weird is that combined this game, like Arizona's the worst –
the first half team. Right. Yeah, I wrote about this a lot. In the
I mean, is there an angle for this gambling wise? Like you bet, you know, people.
Seahawks first. Seahawks first half, and then if you're on Cardinals, you bet either second half or the full game. Arizona has not scored a first quarter point this entire season. You would think that like some of this stuff's going to break against the Seahawks. I mean, this is unbelievably like the worst defense in the NFL. Like it's not even close, especially when you look at their schedule. Like look at the quarterbacks that Seattle's played so far. Russell Wilson, Jimmy Garoppolo with a little sprinkle of Trey Lance, Marcus Mariota, Jared Goff, Andy Dalton. And like they are unequivocally like the worst defense in the NFL. They've allowed opponents to score on over 50% of their possessions. Opponents have reached the red zone at over 50% of their possessions. Like they're giving up touchdowns from outside the red zone. They've allowed the most touchdowns from outside the red zone in the NFL. Like, and look at those offenses I ran off that are getting there on. But like, what happens when the Seahawks start playing good teams? Like, oh my goodness. Like, these games could be incredible if Geno's playing this well.
It's fun because it's kind of the elixir we need for Kyler right now, who just hasn't been getting there. He struggled out the gates so far, averaging a career low 5.6 carries per game. He's only recorded Kyler more than five carries in one game all year so far. And the one time he got the passing bonus on DraftKings this season, he didn't score a touchdown that week. So we haven't seen him finish any higher than the QB8 in DraftKings this year, which is why he's never been, and injuries too, but this is why he's never been in a winning tournament lineup. But now we have, like Rich said, like a historically bad defense here to prop him up. So like this game could be a lot of fun.
You guys are talking to me into a Kyler stack. I mean, it's going to be owned to some degree, but obviously people are going to be focusing on Allen first, possibly Mahomes. You mentioned Brady kind of cheap on DK as well. But, man, I love Kyler for tournaments in this game. You have competent run backs on the Seattle side. You can do it via the running back, or you can do it via, you know, obviously the receivers of Metcalf and Lockett as well. Do you have an early thought, or is it too early to even talk about it, Rich, as far as the running back situation for Arizona? If we have a lack of Connor, how do we feel about Eno?
We feel okay about it. I feel a lot better in like season long, especially than DFS. We'll see who they end up bringing in. They did sign someone today, Tyson Williams. Darrel Williams was already declared out. We're just waiting on Connor. Remember, Jonathan Ward also left that game. So like they literally lost every other running back besides Eno Benjamin in the game.
Yeah.
But Eno Benjamin was already ahead of, you know, Darrel Williams is like the 1B kind of guy. And then when we saw Connor leave the game, it was kind of like nothing changed. You know, Benjamin, Darrel Williams just became James Connor. So we'll see if like anything kind of shuffles around there. The interesting thing is Arizona sucks at running the football though. Like they're terrible at running the ball. Even last week he had a touchdown, just 3.1 yards per carry though. Remember Connor was running for just 3.7 yards per carry. He only ran for 3.7 yards per carry last year Eno like is a really good pass catcher though. That was him coming out of Arizona State. I mean, in that 2020 draft class, he led that entire class in share of team receptions coming out of school. But again, if you can't run the football, like the Seahawks are elixir, there's not a positional group you can find that like just doesn't torch the Seahawks. Like it's equal distribution, like almost all over the board. Like they're pretty good against like boundary wide receivers. That's like the only like kind of one spot, but like everyone is getting home against the Seahawks. They're even allowing, you know, 5 yards per carry to running backs. That's 24th in the league, 18 rushing points per game to running backs. That's 28th in the league, even receiving points on the backfield. They're allowing 30. They're 30th in the league in receiving points allowed per game to running backs. Tight ends, kill them. Even if you take away everything Taysom Hill did, you can remove everything Taysom Hill did and just look at the receiving stats for tight ends against the Seahawks, and they're all incredible. 11.5 yards per target, 30th in touchdown rate. It's just equal distribution. Like if you have someone to play in Seahawks, you just play them. You just put guys in, anybody, just plug them in.
I think Eno is cheap enough and he catches enough passes that I'm not terribly concerned about the lack of his rushing ability. I think that's my thought process in that. Like you can play Kyler with Benjamin with Hollywood, and I'm okay with that stack. Theory getting the entire offense there for Arizona. John, build your favorites stack in this game. There's many rights to go. Obviously, you can start with Geno. You can start with Kyler. But if you had only one stack on a Wednesday night you can make, how would you make it?
Kyler, Hollywood. Would I go Rondale or Eno? So you can put Eno with Kyler, but maybe you try to soak up all the touchdowns through the passing game through Kyler's legs instead and get off Eno. Because like Rich said, he projects as okay, but okay will not be his ownership. His ownership will be top three among all running backs. So I don't know yet on a Wednesday if I'm going to get off of it completely.
He's only 4K, right? 4.5?
4.6 on DK,
Yeah, if Connor is declared out, then he will leapfrog just about everyone based on, we see this every week. We saw when once Isaiah McKenzie was out last week, Khalil Shakir instantly got jammed in. We've seen this story every week this season.
That's when Gabe Davis became the play last week too, whenever we knew everyone was going to go to Khalil Shakir instead. I know I like the Cardinal side. I still have to piece together how I would play it, but I love the Cardinal side. Marquise Brown, even he saw 6 targets in week 1. Since then, since week 2, he's doubled that. He's averaging nearly 12.5 targets per game and a 27% target share in that span. So overall, or 25.7% target share. So overall, we kind of know where the ball's going. And with Travis Kelce and Mark Andrews on this slate, or again, if we're sneaking Quentin Morris into our trying to save salary for Bill stacks, like, I don't really care about Zach Ertz still. Zach Ertz has 6 catches in 4 consecutive games, and he has 1 top 5 tight end performance in that span because all he does is catch the ball. I don't need to even play him with Kyler, honestly. I can try to get sneaky elsewhere. So it kind of allows you to play Kyler Eno Hollywood or Kyler Rondale Hollywood, because although Rondale Moore's slot usage last week, he moved back into the slot for 80%+ of his routes and then had his average depth of target increase to last year's relevance with just 2.3 yard depth of target. Even that can get there against the Seahawks defense. Like, we can use Rondale's yak in this game, especially on a site like DraftKings. So I'm still toying around with the idea, but I know I'd bring Hollywood along for sure.
Rich, you remember, like, not that long ago, like, we would have backup receivers and backup running backs that were 3K on DK?
Oh, yeah. Thank
you.
Good days.
Totally different game. Like, I was thinking about it. We're looking at Benjamin, like, oh, man, he's so cheap at 4.6. Like, he would be 3.2. Like,
oh, yeah.
If it was 4 years ago or whatever it was. And, just the way injuries. And, like, Kenneth Walker wouldn't be 5.4. He would be, like, 3.5. Well, Walker getting some reps. You know what I'm saying? It was a totally different build. I'm just remembering. I'm nostalgic for those times where, you know, they
still fumbled it though, because Connor left the game like last week. Like, so they still knew like this was a possibility. I think the Ramondre too, like there could have been more of a proactive approach taken.
Yeah. And that's the other thing is, like, if there's Benjamin, who's going to look kind of chalky. And then we talked about Singletary being pretty interesting. Looks like the price a little bit better there on FanDuel. Walker on Seattle at 5.4 on DK. I think he's got a good FanDuel price as well. He should be the clear number one there. I guess Dallas might get some third down stuff, but, you know, Walker's got a pretty good price. He's popping in optimals. He looks like an early candidate.
That's my one hang up with Eno from a tournament perspective is all these other running backs just feel like they have like 25, 30 point ceilings. Mm-hmm. And I don't think Eno does. I think he's fine to save salary, but man, like, I would rather save salary like at another position, like tight end, right? And try to just get like a floor out of that than at running back in a tournament in like a large field. Because Ramondre has like RB1 overall upside. Kenneth Walker, Breece Hall, like these are guys that have like really front end like ceiling projections. And Kenneth Walker is one of those guys. Kenneth Walker was the 40th pick overall in the draft. Like, the dude had 19 touchdowns and 1,700 yards last year. He led all this draft class in rate of runs that go for 15 or more yards last year. He faced loaded boxes on 20% of his carries at Michigan State. It was the 6th highest rate in the draft class. He was a 92nd percentile speed score running back coming out of the combine. Like, this dude has pedigree. Like, he's like a, there is a lot of upside here. That 69 yard touchdown he had last week, that's like what he did his entire final season at Michigan State. Long runs, chunk gains, like, can get there in one play. definitely that kind of upside for him. There's a reason he was drafted that highly, not just because of the Seahawks.
Don't do a lot of, like, you know, lineup construction analysis on a Wednesday night because, you know, a lot of it's going to change. But it's interesting. We're talking about a lot of, like, mid-tier cheap running backs. Just thinking like CMC and Barkley and Fournette, the big spend-ups. If Taylor goes, theoretically, he has big game in him, you know, only 8K on DK. Historically, he smashed Jacksonville. I'm just kind of thinking about, like, the builds are probably going to be, like, spend down on some cheap running backs at, because there's a lot of good value there, but maybe there's an opportunity cost as well. And I know the entire season, basically, spending up on running backs as a general thought has not been necessarily spectacular, but the ownership's going to reflect that as well. We got anything else here, boys? Are we moving on?
I think we're moving on to positions.
Yeah, we're going to do positions
Well, DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett, I guess we have to have a quick discussion on Tyler Lockett being 5,600 on DraftKings again. Because, again, he just had two touchdowns over 100 yards. He's the same price that he was chalk last week and an even better matchup easily. And so I don't know yet what I would do, but at least we do have an answer. Like, no one was going to play Rashad Penny last week anyhow, even off a good game. But with Kenneth Walker having this salary, I guess to get unique, because you wouldn't want to play Ken Walker and Tyler Lockett for obvious correlation reasons and because you're pretty much trying to steal each other's touchdowns and points. You'd probably have to tack on Geno to that mix to get unique. I don't know. Rich, what are your thoughts on Tyler Lockett on DK?
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be the most popular cash game guy. I mean, secondary guys have gotten there the best. Again, you know, Arizona has faced a lot of good wide receiver ones, and they are third in the NFL in points allowed to opposing wide receiver ones. Look at some of these games wide receiver ones have had against them. Davante Adams, 2-for-12. Cooper Kupp, 4-for-44. A.J. Brown, 3-for-32 last week. These lead wideouts haven't been getting there against Arizona. The secondary guys, the Mac Hollinses, Devontae Smith last week, those guys have been having the better games. Arizona's also worse against slot wide receivers, obviously, as a, you know, product of that. You know, we're seeing Tyler Lockett basically be a 50-50 inside-outside player. Even from an objective stance, it looks like Lockett has a better matchup. Then you combine his salary just being ludicrous again. And he's going to be tough to get away from. But the one thing is with Lockett, though, in tournaments at that price, last week was the first game he scored a touchdown. So, You know, you don't get buried if he doesn't get in the box, right? Like, you know, that's always one of the best things about, you know, FanDuel versus DraftKings is even guys like Cooper Kupp. Like, you can avoid, like, those 30 burgers, right? Even when those guys are going to be popular because if they don't score a touchdown, they're not just stacking all those receptions and getting the bonus. So, I would say, like, Lockett with the touchdown equity, which has been small so far, like, he'd probably be a dude to avoid because you just need him not to get a touchdown.
All right. Going to tell you our favorite plays position by position in just a second. Before we do that, we do want to shout out our sponsor, Thrive. Join in on the fantasy prop action this NFL season with Thrive Fantasy. Easy to play, no salary cap style contest revolves around over-under style player props. Each prop has a fantasy score associated with the prop. The riskier the prop, the higher the fantasy score. You'll rack up the most points for your share of the prize pool. And we have a nice, sweet deposit bonus for y'all. Use the promo code GRINDERS, that's GRINDERS, for a deposit bonus up to $250 as well as free tickets. How do those free tickets work? Well, if you want to deposit between $100 and $499, you will get two free individual $20 tickets. If you deposit $500 or more, you get six free $20 contest tickets. Again, use that promo code GRINDERS, deposit bonus up to $250, as well as those tickets. Terms and conditions do apply. Check out RotoGrinders review page for Thrive Fantasy in the description for more. And to get you guys started, we want to pick out some of the winners as far as some of the props. John, you have it in front of you. Give the people some winners as far as some of your favorite props on Thrive today.
Let's go. I'm looking down at this. What do I get for? Oh, no, that's not a good discrepancy for Nick Chubb over touchdowns because I do think it's a good matchup for Nick Chubb. Let's go over 291.5 total yards for Lamar Jackson, who is probably ugly because we've seen his past two games, but we get an extra 10 points on Thrive for it. And he's a player I'm about to talk about in positional plays. Should I just roll it off here, Dean? Should I segue it quickly? Okay, cool.
Yeah, let it ride.
Yeah, here we go. So I like Lamar Jackson this week, which is why I'm betting his over on Thrive. And that's because whenever you see his last two performances, it was easy letdown spots against the Bills, who we talked about, send four pass rushers. Lamar's averaged 5.6 yards per attempt against four pass rushers. And then last week's game against the Bengals, who are playing more two-high safeties. But overall, in this potential spot, Wink Martindale has sent the league's highest rate of blitzes, and thus the Giants are also running the second highest rate of man coverage. And unlike his historical struggles against the blitz, Lamar Jackson has been lighting it on fire this year. 8.5 yards per attempt against the blitz, and 7 of his 12 passing touchdowns have actually come against extra pass rushers as well. So I love a Lamar Jackson ceiling game in this spot at zero ownership, and no one's going to click that button on Thrive either.
Yeah, it's really interesting for DFS because, you know, talking about getting away from Josh Allen and Mahomes, that's certainly one of the places to look. By the way, I'm pulling this. If you go to the Thrive lobby, this is their biggest contest of the week, $100,000 guaranteed prize pool, 20K to first. You can also correlate picks, just sort of throwing it out there before I throw it to you, Rich. But if you happen to like Josh Allen to throw more than 2.5 touchdowns and interceptions, you probably should correlate that with Stephon Diggs catching a touchdown, because if he throws a touchdown to Diggs, it's a good correlation. It kind of helps you get you there. Rich, some of your thoughts, anybody stand out for you? And that's, by the way, those are both kind of even money. 100 points more, 100 points less for Allen. You're taking a slight hit on Diggs, 90 points if he hits it. But that's still, you know, that's not so bad. What do you have, Richard, as far as some of your standouts when it comes to these over-unders?
Yeah. Correlating player props are definitely underrated in the market. I remember having this conversation last year with Cooper Kupp bets to win MVP. And it's like, well, if you're going to bet Cooper Kupp to win MVP in the Super Bowl, like, you have to bet like Matthew Stafford to throw an interception, right? Like, so you have to stack those. Like, you know, all these different things. So, like, yeah, you definitely, correlating player props is great. Great way to get into it. Looking at the, like, nothing is like super intoxicating here off the rip. Looking at some of these just at face value. I would say Hollywood Brown, for reasons like Daigle said. You know, his yardage looks pretty good. 64.5 feels pretty light.
And you're getting a bonus on it too. You're getting plus 110.
It's, you know what, CMC's even money, so I guess that's fine. Like, I mean, he's been getting there. He's got over 100 total yards in his last four games. You're 93.5 is what you're sitting at there. Nothing is like super, super great that I'm looking at here on paper from these.
Matt Ryan, by the way, under untouched, under interceptions. He doesn't throw an interception, get 120 points. What does that say about Matt Ryan?
Yeah, that's tough. Real tough scenes for Matt Ryan, who has 11 fumbles too. He leads the NFL. He leads the NFL in interceptions and fumbles through 5 weeks. Not great. You kind of touched on
they,
that.
They traded Carson Wentz for Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
Hate to see it.
I do like Mike Evans. We're going to talk about Mike Evans and positional plays for sure. I like that one, you know, 5.5 catches. I think it's a big Mike Evans week this week. Yeah, those are the ones that kind of stand out. It's not as glaring this week. I mean, even Lockett, like 6.5 for receptions is like, that's a high line.
It's a tough number.
Yeah. Asking for 7 catches on a bet is really tough.
Yeah, unless you're like Cooper Kupp or something
right.
Like that.
There's like one guy you would bet.
But you're getting 115 points. You're getting paid off on it at least. But yeah, it's kind of tricky. I like,
there's a reason you're getting it.
The Marquise Brown one at 64.5 and plus 110 points. I think that's my favorite as well.
Yeah.
You kind of threw that one out there. But yeah, you got a big 10 of these 20.
Well, Josh Allen plus 2.5 touchdowns plus interceptions, because he doesn't even have to throw an interception. He just throw 3 passing touchdowns.
Yeah.
Run for one. He can run for one.
All right. Let's talk about our fair plays position by position. John, you're already 3 years out as far as Lamar. You got anybody else, or are you good? You just want to pass?
Well, Reeves, I have a feeling, is about to talk about Tom Brady, since we already talked about Mike Evans. So, Reeves, I can send you Tom Brady.
I mean, I like Lamar too. I like the Lamar call. I mean, I like Brady in theory, but like we talked about, like, I played some Brady last week, but man, like he had 20 fantasy points in, you couldn't get there with it. Like, does Brady have, like, can he push these guys? Can he get there? Cause the matchup's fantastic. Right. And we've seen that the Bucs now started to wing it around. They're 16% and 18% in pass rate over expectation. The past week, he has 52 pass attempts in each game. They just stalled out. They didn't finish drives last week. And the Steelers have just been terrible. I mean, and the Steelers are another team. Look at the quarterbacks the Steelers have faced prior to Josh Allen. Like, all terrible guys, and they've just been a really bad defense. You know, I mean, I shouldn't call Joe Burrow terrible. The run out for the Bengals has been terrible this year. But yeah. they're 26th in yards per pass attempt. They're allowing a 5.2% touchdown rate, which is 26, 17.2 passing points per game. It all lines up. DraftKings, he's really cheap. I think Brady definitely banks the 300-yard bonus for you, but, like, can he still get 30? Like, my quarterback, like, I want a quarterback that almost has, like, inherently, like, he's gonna score at least 25. Mm-hmm. And can he score 30, 35? And I love the argument for Brady. I just, man, it's just how do you just not play these guys that have this upside?
It was interesting last week. The millionaire maker was Josh Allen with Davis, right? And then three Tampa Bay pieces. So no Brady, but it had Lenny, had Godwin, and then Otten. So, like, three Tampa Bay pieces, but no Brady because, like you said, the 20 points for Brady doesn't get you enough. That's not good enough. It's fine in theory, but, you know, there's no ceiling to that unless he goes, like, 304, which is possible, unlikely. And it's Allen because it's Allen every single week. That's just what it is, man. You just play Josh Allen every week, and you just got to figure out around there. Anything else as far as quarterbacks, Rich? You want to throw some running backs into the conversation?
Nah, we covered it all, especially, you know, our guy Jalen Hurts not being on here.
Yeah, no Hurts. That's unfortunate. As far as running backs, we kind of mentioned a few of these guys in passing. Stevenson, we sort of talked about. Kamara still waiting for his first touchdown, getting siphoned from Taysom. If Taylor comes back, I think he's really interesting in theory. Lenny, he saw a price jump on FanDuel at 8.5. What is he on DK? 7.4. That's still a pretty good price, especially with all the catches he gets. Anybody you want to focus on, Richard, as far as running backs?
No, we've covered most of it. I mean, it's going to be such a concentrated pool of guys at ownership between Walker, Stevenson, potentially, you know, Benjamin, Devin Singletary. We'll see if it, you know, it becomes like the pivot is to pay up for guys like, you know, McCaffrey or Nick Chubb, not on DraftKings, but Saquon, you know, still does Saquon slide through a little bit. We talked about Aaron Jones. That's really it though. Like those are the guys we're just going to see so many cheap guys this week draw so much ownership. I do think Nick Chubb's in a great spot. I don't think you necessarily is the guy you want to pay up for on DraftKings, but the Browns have really done something kind of unique here. And it's for the first time in his career. So it's 48% of Nick Chubb's carries so far have come with three or more wide receivers on the field. His first 2 years under Kevin Stefanski, those rates were 32% and 36%. And with three or more wide receivers on the field, he has 7.2 yards per carry, which, you know, Nick Chubb is a guy who's really good against stack boxes. Like, right? Like, he beats the league right against stack boxes. Now you give him light boxes. He's faced on those carries, those 47 carries with three or more wide receivers in the field, he's faced a loaded box on just four carries. So, like, when you have a guy that's just been inherently this good of a runner, even against stack boxes, and you're now giving him more light boxes to work with, like, this is how he's had the run out he's had to start this year. New England has been really – they've really struggled to defend the run, too, this year. They are 24th in rate of runs to allow five or more yards, 23rd in rate of runs to go for 10 or more yards. He, you know, Chubb is a guy, like, if he doesn't score a touchdown, you're left holding the bag a little bit. But home favorite is all here again for him again.
Yeah, 55, 52% of snaps, but and he's never the math play. Like, optimizers never like him because he's too expensive for a guy that doesn't catch enough passes and doesn't play enough. But, you know, he's kind of like Derrick Henry in that any given time he can go out there and break off 200 yards to the ground and get in the box twice. Hey, somebody in chat, John, was asking about CMC. I don't think he's going to get played much this week. Just I'm curious. CMC, they're talking about going to Buffalo, some rumors being thrown out there. Am I the only one that thinks, like, that wouldn't make a huge – like, Buffalo would – they would go from being the best offense in football to still being the best offense in football, and they're going to still score touchdowns and keep – I don't think it would matter that much. I know the running backs don't matter and whatever, but I guess it would help them incrementally.
Yeah, well, we've seen the way Buffalo's organization runs. It doesn't make much sense anyhow. I think everyone's already trying to chip McCaffrey and DJ Moore out of town. DJ Moore, who Tepper just gave an extension to this year. So yeah, I don't know. I don't think neither of them are going anywhere. Okay. It's Christian McCaffrey. Of course it would make a difference, but still, like, they purposely waited. They wanted a running back in the first round. Remember, they purposely waited for day two knowing James Cook was there. So I don't think.
Well, they wanted McKissick in the offseason too, right?
Right. He signed a contract. Yes. But then he backed out.
Oh, I didn't know that. I don't remember that. I kind of go to sleep in the offseason sometimes. I remember he.
God, that sounds like a
I can't believe you weren't glued to JD McKissick news, Dean.
I was grinding baseball or basketball or something else for sure.
But right. I mean, listen, McCaffrey's been really good this year. The only two things that are getting in his way are that Carolina runs no plays. They're dead last in offensive snaps. And they've run four plays inside the opponent's 10-yard line this season.
Oh, wow.
Four total. So, like, I mean, he's getting there still. But, like, imagine if they just ran more plays and could create scoring opportunities.
And the one person now who is left over, because they fired the head coach, they fired DC, but they kept Ben McAdoo, who calls the plays, around. So that's my concern here.
And it's Phil Walker still. I mean, I guess we're in a situation where it just can't be worse, right? We're
also, it's
yeah, it can't be much worse, right, than Baker.
Do you know, by the way, do you know what the J is in PJ? Can you continue this bit for us?
I actually don't. I know it's Phillip, though.
I know it's Phillip. I don't know the J either. This is not a quiz show. I'm just curious if you happen to know it.
No, I don't. There's nothing. It's just Phillip Walker. I don't know why he goes by PJ.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying too.
Now we have a real question on our hand.
Yeah. It's not. I mean, we need more backstory, like T.Y. Hilton, whose name is Eugene. We need more backstory.
I know R.A. Dickey. I'm more of a baseball weird names. Ropper down.
Yeah.
But I, the football thing is that's your lane. I won't enter it. But I pulled up the Wikipedia. Phillip P.J. Walker Jr. Huh. I don't. We need more. We got to do an investigation. Stay tuned. Come back next week.
I know J.J. and J.J. Zacharyson, but I can't reveal it.
Yeah. Anything else as far as running backs, or shall we move on and talk about receivers? I suppose we're talking about receivers. John, you have a first shot at it.
Cortland Sutton on FanDuel is still interesting because
he plays on Monday. Get out of here.
Oh, God. I didn't separate the slate. Okay. let's go ahead and have the
good play, though.
That's the first time I've screwed that up, by the way.
It's a good play, though.
Okay, well, I'm playing them on Monday for everyone watching the show. If you're watching this on Sunday, I'm playing Cortland Sutton Monday. Also, let's talk about Deebo Samuel, who I hope doesn't play Monday. He is $300 more on FanDuel after he basically failed his chalk. He still got a touchdown, but still didn't really get there. He wasn't in winning lineups. So I'm curious, even at 7,600, I wonder if people go back to him after he didn't have his first touch until the two-minute warning of that game was used scarcely. It's a tremendous matchup against the Falcons defense. So overall, that's kind of where I'm at right now on FanDuel. We've talked about a lot of the receivers.
We're not talking about the main slate since you've got to derail it for a second. What happened to A.J. Brown last game? He had three catches in the first drive, and then dude just disappeared. Like, I think that's what he finished with, right? Am I wrong?
I just told you. We just talked about it.
What did I miss? I'm sorry. I was reading the chat.
We were talking about the lead boundary receivers against the Cardinals. I ran down the list of guys that all struggle.
By the way, according to the chat, they're saying Phillip Jr. is what is a.
Oh, just Jr. That Phillip Jr. Okay. That makes sense.
That's what they're saying. Yeah, I guess that kind of makes sense. It's a quicker way of saying, okay, I'll buy that. PJ.
That tracks.
Other wide receivers we want to throw into the mix. So who do we want to talk about here? Rich.
Mike Evans.
Yeah.
Big play magnet. Has a catch of at least 30 or more yards three games in a row. We saw that last week. If the Bucs are going to get ahead, they're going to do some load management with Chris Godwin, who only ran six routes in the second half of the game last week. The Steelers have allowed 20.6 PPR points per game to opposing wide receiver one. That's 29th in the league. They are 31st in the league in points allowed per game to boundary wide receivers. They've already allowed five wide receiver one scoring weeks in 5 weeks. They've already allowed five 100-yard receiving games to wide receivers. I like Mike Evans. He's a guy that just like perpetually never draws a lot of ownership either. I like Ja'Marr Chase this week. I think he'll get there too, because we're trending towards potentially T. Higgins not playing again.
Yeah.
And you look at his splits even last week. I mean, so we'll get into why it happened, but he did have another 35% of the team targets last week. Looks like we probably won't get Marshawn Lattimore playing in that game either. Going back to last year on plays where T. Higgins is not on the field, Ja'Marr Chase has a 29% team target share. He's been targeted on 32% of his routes, When T. Higgins is on the field at any given snap, he has a 23.8% target share, Jamar Chase that is, and targeted on 21% of his routes. Now, I get that nothing was fun last week. His depth of target was 4.2 yards. It was gross. But, I mean, there's going to be an explosion week. If T. Higgins doesn't play, there's going to be a lot of targets to glom onto again. And just a guy this talented getting that many targets, if he's going to come in single-digit ownership, like, I'm going to put him in some lineups.
Where did he went to LSU, right, Chase?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Were they playing this week?
Nolens.
There you go. There's some narrative for y'all. Who's his quarterback? Yeah. All right.
I wonder if that will get brought up in any other show for the rest of the week.
I'm the first person to say it.
Nick Chubb in Georgia worked out a couple weeks ago for us.
There you go. The narrative scoreboard. You guys like Olave on the other side of that game, assuming he's good to go? It looks like he's on track as far as passing all tests. He's one of those like mid-tier receivers, looks pretty solid at 5'5". Any thoughts as far as Olave? Or I don't know, I'm just throwing him out there. Any opinions? Just sort of fine.
We may be getting those prayer yards again. We may be getting that 31% target share he had from Jameis Winston those next couple of games.
Do you think they'll start Geno if he Geno Jameson?
I don't know, because with how we say Andy Dalton's supposed to be managing the game, but he's not really managing the game either. So I don't know if they're going to take the ceiling play or just play it safe, because we obviously see that they're taking Dalton off the field too for Taysom. So I really don't know.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm curious to see how that shakes out.
I was going to make a baseball reference, but I got to know my audience. Tony La Russa technically was managing the White Sox this year, but not really. Like, he was there, but not really, if you follow that at all. All right.
Are any of you guys looking at Jacoby Myers? This dude's getting a boatload of targets.
He's got great chemistry with Zappy.
Do you think Mac Jones plays?
I don't know. I don't know yet.
Because Mac Jones was throwing, you know, 20 plus yard targets at a top five rate in the league too, which would give us some more juice if he plays. But yeah, I mean, Jacoby Myers, at least it'd be a good pivot off of Ramondre.
I mean, he's getting targeted on 34% of his routes. That's third among all wide receivers. And he's also averaging a career high 13.1 yards per catch as well. So you're getting a little more juice instead of like the 6 for 45s. You know, he's had a little juice. He's smaller sample. He's only played three games so far this year. Two have been good. But he's kind of just floating out there and a little bit underpriced on my end.
He's led the team in targets in all three games he's been active for too.
Other side of that game, is that didn't Jacoby Brissett used to play for New England? Now I'm just thinking revenge games for no particular reason. All right, let's talk about tight ends. We've already talked about Kelsey. Anders, of course, is a thing as far as spend-ups, and I'm sure you guys hate this as you do a lot of season-long content as well, John, but people probably ask you, like, this terrible tight end or this terrible tight end? Which one should I play? And you're like, I don't know, man. They all stink. And like you kind of said about Higbee before, who's like one of the better terrible ones. You don't really need his five catches for 50 yards. But, yeah, what do you have as far as tight end?
If you're looking to pay and pray because you need two touchdowns, like you're trying to match Mark Andrews and Travis Kelce in amazing spots. So that's the real problem here. If Jonnu Smith gets ruled out, we can go back to Hunter Henry. 98% of snaps last week came in second on targets on the team. So that's fine, especially because his salary really didn't go up. He's still 4,700 on FanDuel. Was 4,500 last week. I just don't know. I mean, we've already talked about Quentin Morris. Like, how much cheaper do you want me to go?
And you think Morris is legit? If, you know, especially it's a cheap way or a different way of getting a piece of that game. It's really popular, assuming or under the assumption that Knox does not go. And we'll see. He's got a couple body parts we're monitoring. Questionable last we saw. Yeah, I kind of like Morris as well as a cheapie. What about the guy for Tampa? Will we go back to Otten if what's his name does not come back?
Cam Brate was full practice today.
Well, never mind. Well,
we lost Otten. We would all be going back to Otten if he was not.
Freiermuth, we don't know about, right? I think he's questionable. Last I saw, yeah.
I'm gonna assume. I don't know. Like maybe we don't get there, but. Since the Tua thing, I just assume every guy that has a concussion now will automatically miss the next week. But
correct.
We'll see. Underhill sounded promising that Olave was going to play, but I mean, I just assume like everyone's just gonna be kid gloves, everything. This like, which is fine. Like, I'm okay with that. I don't want to say that that's a negative either. But the way that situation played out, I just think teams are gonna be really cautious with these guys that have concussions. And with Freiermuth, that's his third concussion in a year.
Oh boy,
in a 12-month span. So. Mm-hmm. I would assume he's not going to play. I don't know how excited you are to play Zach Gentry, but he's a big dude, 6'7", giant guy.
Yeah, the Teddy thing, they said he passed every single test and they still wouldn't let him play. And like, you know, err on the side of caution. I know fantasy players want their players to play, whatever, right? But like, you know, these are also human beings and you're supposed to care that they're for their life. And yeah, I mean, obviously. And the situation already happened in Miami. They don't want to double down and then something else happens there. But all right.
And Teddy's another guy, his long history of concussion issues, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you got to play it safe with those guys.
I'm absolutely good with that. You got any tight ends that we should talk about, Rich, here? Or?
Not cheap ones. I just, you know, want to say if people are going to float to Kelce because of the inherent game environment. I mean, Jesus, Mark Andrews is in an amazing spot this week. You know, Daigle talked about, you know, just how much, you know, how aggressive Wink is and, you know, how much man coverage they play. Mark Andrews has 40% of the Ravens targets against man coverage. The only players that have a higher team target share against man coverage are Cortland Sutton and DK Metcalf. He's fourth in the NFL in target rate per route run against man coverage. And he has 25% of the team targets in four of his five games. Like if, I don't know. We'll have to scope things out. Cause I mean, it's Mark Andrews. He's not going to sneak through anybody, but like if just people want to get to Kelce because of Bills Chiefs.
Yeah,
man. I mean, Mark Andrews is just in a tremendous spot in the early games and you already know what you have, you know, if he hits.
And
like, you play Mark Andrews as one of your 1 o'clock hammers and he has like 25 points. Like you're looking real good coming into what, you know, everyone's going to own at four.
And Kelce will naturally get stacked with Mahomes or brought back in game stacks. Thus, Lamar makes a lot of sense too, since he's kind of hidden with a ceiling that can match Mahomes and Allen in stacks.
Lamar, Andrews, and Barkley looks like a pretty fun stack there. I mean, I'm sure other people see that as well because I can't imagine anybody else in the Giants. I'm
not. You want Darius Slayton shares?
I don't want any.
He's 3,800 on DraftKings. He's gonna get played.
Okay. Yeah, he might be. Robinson may play at some point, right? We don't know if it's this week, but maybe eventually.
Tony won't. Tony's never playing it down.
Tony's never playing. Yeah, in his career.
Does he exist? Do we have a proof of life on Kadarius Tony?
We don't. We need it actually.
All right. That's it, boys. I believe that's week six in the books. Do tell the people, of course, you know, week six, they know. They knew by now, like coming into the season. We've been doing the show for how many years now? They know where to find you in the socials. But just in case, the small chance, John, tell the people where they can find you, where they can follow your content.
It may be only two games we're trying to play here, but it's still actually a pretty fun slate for the pivots, at least. Also, go to 444.com, rest of my content there. Use the promo code Daigle10. It'll get you 25% off right now for the rest of the season, whether it be the DFS sub or if you're in the redraft streets, the redraft subs. Also know that I will be playing Cortland Sutton on Monday.
Rich?
Sharp Football Analysis. You can go check out the worksheet. We're going to try to cook something up here pretty soon where it's just free the entire week, you know, coming up here. But yeah, go check out the work. I feel like now that we're in like the last couple weeks, I felt really good about like where we are in the season and analyzing what we're getting out of teams. Hopefully that continues and hopefully it has a real fun week. Hit those cash lines, knock down something.
Do appreciate you all watching. Kindly hit that like button if you're watching us on the YouTube. Subscribe, turn on those notifications. On behalf of producer Steve, Rich, John, Malcolm Floyd, Cortland Sutton,
Graham,
Best,
Zach Wilson.
I was Dean. Thanks for listening. Win something this week. We're out of here. Hello.